It's Tuesday, 4th of August, and it's time to catch up Renown with a Grincast, here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Nikki.
Hello.
And Velt.
Hi.
Welcome, people. We're one down because he went and ate some raw chicken off the ground. I don't know. So he's poorly.
To be fair,
he might have been eating raw chicken off the ground. You never know.
Yeah, I was going to say he hasn't actually we just know that he's had raw chicken, so anything could have happened. We said the plot of Game Grin podcast would develop, and here it is. We've potentially killed one of our members.
No, we didn't.
Do you know what it is?
It's not we didn't kill. Don't give away the plot.
The Last of Us is happening. It's the mushroom virus.
In raw chicken.
Chicken and mushroom.
Chicken and mushroom pie.
And now the mushroom spores are making him a zombie.
Gosh, could you imagine, hundreds of years from now, the last few human survivors finally starting to rebuild society, and it's like, Father, what? How did this all come to this? Well, there was a mushroom and some chicken.
Yeah.
And that road went and fucking ate it.
We'll start as we often do with non sequiturs. No, what's everyone been playing this past week? Nikki, take us away.
Hello, yes. The usual, Zero Lane, Destiny. A couple of extra titles this week because I ended up having a bit of a weird gaming session actually last night where I went for a load of random games with some friends, which was really cool. This started off as playing Tetris 99 and losing a lot. And then we'd team up against one of our friends and we'd still lose. But it was chill. It was nice. But Splatoon 2 as well, did some salmon run, a couple of unranked matches, realized that I still suck at third-person shooters on console, especially Splatoon's. Splatoon never felt right. Like, I love Splatoon, don't get me wrong. But for some reason, the control scheme, it just never felt right. Like, with or without motion controls, it never was comfortable for me. To the point where I don't use guns, I use the paintbrushes. Because it's easier. Then also some LEGO Star Wars, the complete edition. Did a couple of levels of Episode 5. I have not played a Star Wars game in years, and this was the biggest nostalgia thing. And no one ever told me that if you play as Princess Leia and go within melee range of an enemy, she basically bitch slaps them and they just explode into nice Lego pieces. And that is a mood. Like, that is what I want from life, is just to be able to slap someone and they explode into Lego pieces. Which is good. Back on the Animal Crossing grind as well. Finally got back into New Horizon. It was horrific because if you don't play for a while, when you go back and you start talking to the villagers, they're like, "We missed you." And one of them's like, "Oh, you've been gone for a month." I'm like, "I'm really sorry. I'm back. It's fine." The next villager, "You've been gone for 2 months." I was like, "What?" It just kept going up. And yeah, apparently I haven't played for 2 months. Everyone's still alive. All my plants are still there. So back to trying to figure out how to actually
play. All the weeds.
Yeah, well, I left the weeds. I like them. I just kind of moved the ones that were in the way and just put them in the corner of the island.
Fair.
Yeah,
did you experience any of the new stuff that's been on there? Because I've not played any of the new content yet. There's loads of updates that have happened since.
I stopped playing during the wedding update.
The new update brings fireworks every Sunday at 7 p.m. throughout August, and you can now visit other people's islands in their dreams. So you can do whatever the hell you want to the island, and it won't affect their actual island.
Yeah, it's some nice features. There's also swimming now, although I haven't figured out quite how to access that.
You go in the water and presumably you start to swim.
Well you'd say that, but I can't go in the water. I think I have to buy a swimsuit, but they're all ugly.
Yeah,
so I haven't bought
you have
one
to
yet.
Buy a wetsuit or something. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to look good. I want to get back into actually chilling in the evenings and stuff. So I started playing that again. The main game I've been playing over the last week is Necrobarista, which I'd mentioned briefly last week. I'm finishing up the review for it, but it's an amazing title. Like, it's hands down one of the best narrative experiences I've had the luxury of playing. It's less than 5 hours long, which was a little bit of a surprise. But given the price and the pacing, like, it's totally fine. Like, it's a story that, you know, I joked that it's a story about coffee, death, and Australia. It really is, and it's amazing. There's even the odd hipster joke about avocado toast. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It's paced perfectly. The writing is fantastic. It's engaging and compelling. It's definitely a game that you want to play in maybe two sittings because it gets a little bit heavy at times. The ending had me in tears. I loved it. And the great thing about it is, you can read more once the review goes live and find the final verdict there as well. But what's really nice is the developers have said that they're going to do some free DLC story updates to expand on sort of some of the characters that were in the game. The main character, like that story that they were telling in the game, is done. They said, like, Maddie's story is done. They're going to do some extra stories with other characters. Because the only real negative I had for the game is that, like, there's a few characters that appear because the whole game's set in a coffee shop. And they're like, they're there for maybe like a couple of lines and then they just disappear. And I was expecting them to come back, but they never did. And I was like, oh, okay. But it's fun. You know, the story is still fine. The gameplay of unlocking memories is still really good. And it's nice that they're going to, you know, bring some free content along as well. So yeah, that's basically my week.
Okay, then, Phil, take us away.
I've not been playing too much. I've been playing Dissidia Upper Omnia Final Fantasy again. The new weapons ahead. I don't know if it was last week. The brand new weapons are here. Squall has a thing now that he can do lots of attacks with. I don't care about Squall.
Who does?
Can go. Rinoa, I guess. I don't know. Loads of people like Squall, actually. I don't know why. I just find it really strange, but loads of people really like Squall.
I'm really, like, biased against 8.
8's one of my least favorite Final Fantasy games. It's not the one that I like the least, but I think it might be the worst. Especially story-wise.
Oh, God, yeah, the story is terrible.
No sense. It's just nonsense. And the only character I like is Laguna, so... But Laguna's hilarious. Anyway, yeah, Squall gets stuff. People like Squall, so that's fine. Also, Tales of Crystoria. I'm still playing it, surprisingly. Actually, kind of liking the game. I wasn't expecting to like it as much as I do. Really, really enjoy the story. Keep getting further in the story. And just unlocking some more interesting cutscenes. Just genuinely lots of stuff in that game that I think is really good. Apart from the frame rate. Frame rate is the only thing that game can't get right. Which is unfortunate. But other than that, yeah. Not really.
Mobile is a tricky platform to get right.
I think so. I think it's especially because everyone has a different mobile phone and that sort of thing. Like, from my experience, the frame rate has only been bad when in one area in the game, and it's like this sort of shimmering golden cave where lots of stuff is going on in the background. But and then it slows down to like one frame per second. It can't manage. It can't deal with it.
Oh, gosh.
It gets really bad. Like, because there's a lot of sort of stylish actions going on. So they have, like, the 3D graphics look kind of similar to the PS4, the recent PS4 game. They're not quite as good, but they're better than, like, the PS3 graphics that were there on the PS3 version, PS3 edition of that game. So the graphics are pretty good. They've also got lots of like anime stuff happening on as well. They've got Mystic Arts, which are like crazy special moves all happening in engine. Lots of sort of moving parts on each of the characters. So like the hair will all move organically. They'll have bits of cloth and stuff hanging around that will move organically. So obviously there's lots of moving parts going on at any point in the time. And then there being also a cave, which is all entirely sparkly and moving, it doesn't help the case.
Yeah. The problem with mobile is like trying to optimize everything for so much. Because the thing is, as weird as it sounds, you can literally have two phones which are exactly the same spec. They will perform completely differently because of like... It's not so bad on like iOS, but Android is trickier because a lot of companies like they layer their own thing on top of Android, like Samsung do, are notorious, like they have this like whole custom launcher, and that can like impact things as well, and it's absolutely ridiculous. And again, like you know you've called that out, and it's like, okay, cool, the developers probably know about that. They now have to try and find a way to make it run in frame on easily like 200 different devices at different screens, different frame rates. Like, it's mad.
Funnily enough,
I think they've done all right. Sorry, I think they've done all right because it's the only mobile game I've seen with a toggle on the type of frame rate that you can have. Like, they have frame rate and quality performances. So you have, like, three different options that you can select frame rate. So you can select it for quality or performance or balanced in frame rate. And I think the same with, or like, high quality, low quality, medium quality for graphics. And it's one of the only phone games I've ever seen with those options, specifically for frame rate. So they've definitely, like, they're very aware of it. It looks like they're trying to fix it in some way.
Yeah, I've seen that on a couple of games. Even Azur Lane has a frame rate limiter option and stuff, but I think a lot of developers, at least on Android, are kind of now aware of the fact like there are phones with like gamer mode, and then there's people like me and Ace that use an emulator and just allocate a ridiculous amount of RAM.
Yeah.
Well, funnily enough, you're saying that developers have to consider 200 different devices. Earlier today, I was looking through the games I've bought on Humble to see which codes I still haven't used, and I came across Doodle God is a code I haven't used yet. Doodle God, yes, and that was part of the Humble PC and Android Bundle 13 from 2015. And it came with a Android version of that game. I thought, to see whether I want to use this code, I'll download the Android version. It comes up saying this was made for a old version of Android and may not work properly on your device.
Oh.
Because it's an APK file, so obviously the Humble haven't kept it up to date with the past 5 years worth of updates.
Wow. Yeah, of course.
I don't know if you I'm sorry to sidetrack us slightly. I don't know if you remember, but when Apple did a major OS update, they basically broke every single app on the store. And like they only gave developers like a couple of months notice to like, yeah, by the way, we're like completely changing how everything works. And I think it was something mental, like even now, there's thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of apps that just do not work anymore because developers just haven't updated them. Namco have a couple of Time Crisis apps on the iOS that you can, makes sense, tap the screen to shoot. Yeah, they've not worked for about 4 years now.
Wow. Crazy. Wow.
But they're still listed.
I assume they either don't know or don't care.
It's definitely one of those.
Like, because if they know, you'd think they'd fix it. And if that means they wouldn't care. I guess they're not being updated anymore, these games, otherwise, at all, just in general. I don't know. It's interesting. Interesting.
Okay, so is that it?
Yeah, pretty much. I've been busy with other things, unfortunately.
Okay. Myself, a bit of the usual. I've gone back to Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six 3 Black Arrow. Again, because I took off a couple of weeks of playing that because it was two really difficult missions back to back, and I just was not up for that. But I had a couple of nice and easy, fairly easy missions. So I'll be playing some more of that, and you can expect the next diary entries to be closer than like a month apart. Also going back to Super Neptunia RPG, because I just fancy playing. I have the Switch, which the kids usually have, so I figured I'd go back to that. I think I know where I'm going now. I know last time I played it, I lost where I was supposed to go and just thought, I'll work out some other time. But I did start two new games this week. I started MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries. I played through the tutorial section. It's pretty good opening to the game. I'm going to sort out my joystick, well, HOTAS setup, so I can see how that all works, because I remember playing MechWarrior 2 with a joystick. I want to recapture my youth. And Kirby Star Allies is the other one. It's the Switch Kirby game from 2018, and it's got an interesting gimmick. You can turn enemies into your friends, so there's four of you. You can have up to three allies. That's why it's called Star Allies. But to make them your ally, you have to throw a heart at them, so it should surely be Kirby Heart Allies, not Star Allies.
Kirby rides a star sometimes. That's why it's called Star Allies.
I don't know why they've done it. It just doesn't make sense.
Look, Kirby, I think it's Kirby like can all be star whatever they want. More than...
Yeah, basically they just do whatever they want. Don't they? Yeah.
Don't pick on Kirby, Ace.
I love Kirby. I went on a residential with school. Yeah, school years and years and years ago.
What? Where's this going?
And
how's this Kirby? No.
And I had a Game Boy with the clear case, and I had a copy of Kirby for the Game Boy. And one day everyone was going out, and I was feeling under the weather, so I stayed in and played Kirby until my batteries died, and that was a great day. I do like Kirby. I've not played all of his games, but I've played a fair chunk of them.
I don't think I've ever played a Kirby game before. Like, I've played demos, but I don't think I've ever played a full Kirby game, which is weird.
It seems that that Nintendo keep this up to date, because when I, again, it's from 2018, when I loaded up for the first time, it came up with like six screens of, now you can play as this character, well, play with this character. Because they obviously release occasional updates with new characters that can become your allies. And they're all characters from previous Kirby games.
Who did you use most? Who are your preferred star allies?
I don't know their names. So there was the one with the flaming head, a penguin, and a muscly bear thing. My preferred power is the rock power, because I just like jumping up in the air, turning into rock, and slamming down on enemies.
I thought that was what it is. I was like, which one's the rock power? Is that down B in Smash?
he it's not like he just turns into a brick or a rock version of himself. It's all these different things. There's a statue.
There's a lunchbox. There's a lunchbox one.
It entertains me. Oh, and you can combine powers. So if you combine the rock power with your star ally's ice power, like the penguin, it turns you into a hockey puck, and you just go sliding across the level a short distance.
Nice. Love it.
So yeah, play Kirby Star Allies. But speaking of Switch, it has been discovered that the Taiwan Digital Game Rating Committee has rated the original No More Heroes for the Switch. The game from the 2007 on the Wii, along with the enhanced version on the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. I remember playing a bit of it, and it was quite fun. I especially liked the Wiimote making the lightsaber, energy sword noise as you swung it around.
I bet you enjoyed using the energy sword and recharging it.
Oh yeah, recharging it. I got a lot of practice recharge. Wait.
it's a masturbation joke.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
I really hope this is actually this is happening, this release, because I never got to play the original two, but I've seen friends play them, watched live streams, and they're awesome looking games. I really want to play them. So if the first one does get released on Switch, even just digitally, I'm definitely going to pick it up.
Well, in 2019, a Japanese PlayStation magazine asked the series director, Goichi Suda, if there were any plans to make previous entries in the series available on PlayStation 4, and he responded, "Yes, we're currently in talks with Marvelous, the intellectual property holder, to make that happen. It's in a positive consideration, so I hope we'll be able to make a good announcement." And it took them a year to work out that deal, it seems.
I wouldn't be surprised if we got both games coming to Switch, because isn't No More Heroes 3 in development as well? I know that's been teased.
Yes, and that spin-off title was also it came out on Switch.
Yeah, it did, yeah. So it wouldn't be too surprising if we got No More Heroes 2 as well. Maybe in some kind of collection.
Oh, steady on.
Ooh. You know they love their collections now, game publishers. No More Heroes collection. Give you a little special lightsaber edition. I don't know. Who do we
need? It's not a lightsaber. Oh.
It's not a lightsaber. It's an energy sword that you masturbate.
Look, it gets tired. You got to give it a break.
That's precisely it as well. Oh, dear.
Well, speaking of taking a break, you'll soon be able to let your DualShock 4s take a break, because they Sony have announced that existing PS4 peripherals and accessories will work on the PlayStation 5, but only for PlayStation 4 games, not for the PlayStation 5 games, because they believe that PlayStation 5 games should take advantage of the new capabilities and features that are being brought to the platform, including the features of DualSense wireless controller.
They did this.
That's a stupid quote.
They did this with the PS4 and PS3. You can use the PS4 controller on the PS3, but you can't use the PS3 controller on the PS4.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And so I guess it makes sense. It makes sense to me that you can't use a PS4 controller to play a PS5 game, because I imagine most of the launch titles are going to have all the MacGuffins of the new fancy controller. But it's still kind of weird that they specifically have to say, you can use it just for those PS4 games. And it's okay.
I suppose it gives you an option. I mean, this hasn't been a thing for... I mean, has it not? It's not been a thing since the PS2 anyway, has it? So the PS3 couldn't play with PS2. Obviously, the PS2 and PS3 didn't work that way, just because of the way the controller's plugged in. Could you sync up a PS3 controller up to the PS4? I'd never tried it, to be honest.
I have not tried it, but I don't think it'd work, because it's got the middle pad as well as the two two buttons, thing, yeah. and it's got motion controls in it.
Yes, you're right. It sounds very strange. I don't know why this is a conversation, other than you can use your Xbox One pad on the Series X. It's just such a weird design. It's not happened forever. The only console that's done it has been the Wii. And you could use your Wiimotes on the Wii U.
And your GameCube just... on the Wii.
And your GameCube pad on the Wii U as well. And the Switch. GameCube pads are weird, though.
I think you need an adapter for the Wii U. But
You needed the Smash adapter that came with it.
Xbox have jumped on this, tweeting, in case you missed it, Xbox Series X is backwards compatible with all Xbox One controllers across all games. Official Xbox controllers, Xbox Adaptive Controller, Xbox Elite Wireless Controllers, SCUF controllers.
Wait, so, it also makes more sense that way around because all the Xbox One games, all the Xbox Series X games will be playable on Xbox One.
Yeah.
Whereas the PS5 games won't be playable on PS4. That's just clicking in my head there is that there is no difference between the Series X and the Xbox One other than higher graphics, whereas the PS5 and PS4 have probably got much more apparent differences.
I mean, what's the difference between the 360 pad and the Xbox One pad?
I don't know. I've never used the Xbox One pad.
There isn't a difference.
Yeah, but you can't play Xbox One games on your Xbox 360, whereas you can play Xbox Series X games on your Xbox One.
My point is more they've kept the same controller for three console generations now. Whereas PlayStation are at least trying to do something with it. Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, that's neither here nor there. At least they're doing something.
How dare they?
It's just like video games to innovate for no reason, isn't it?
Bloody video games. I wish they'd get rid of them all. No way.
Too late.
It's too late. They're all gone now. Video games are over, guys.
Mad World playing in the background as everyone puts all their games and consoles in bins.
Is that the only game left? Mad World for the Wii?
Yep.
I know you meant the song, but it immediately in my head played the cel-shaded game on the Wii.
Honestly, that's funnier, so let's go with that.
It's kind of ironic because you're the music guy amongst us.
I mean, I guess. I
said a band name. I saw a t-shirt and said, repeated it saying, well, what's that? And to my wife earlier today, and she said, oh, it's Jared Leto's band. Like I was a complete friggin' tool.
Okay. It's not like they haven't been going for 20 years or not.
What's their one hit wonder?
The Kill? They've had a few, to be fair. They've had a couple.
Then it's not a one hit wonder, so I'm not going to know.
Do you only know one hit wonders?
I'm more likely to know if it's a one hit wonder.
Really?
I mean, I'm not a musical person. I like musicals. I don't follow music.
Yeah, but you're saying you're more likely to know Eiffel 65 than Taylor Swift.
Okay, I've heard of both of those. But
there we go.
But several comedy podcasts do poke fun at Taylor Swift, so that might be the only way I know her. If I heard one of her songs, I'd have no idea. Oh, never, ever, ever, ever,
what
ever.
Can you name the Eiffel 65 song?
That's Blue Dabba Dee Dabba Die, isn't it?
So you can't, yeah. Okay, I was just testing to see whether or not what I said was true, and it is. You are more likely to know who Eiffel 65 are, an obscure European dance artist from the 90s, than one of the biggest artists in the world. That's fine. It was just a thing that I needed to make sure of.
Well, something that I know a lot about, however, is Spider-Man. It's been revealed on the PlayStation blog after some rumors circulated for about a day and a half that Spider-Man is coming to Marvel's Avengers exclusively on the PlayStation platforms. Marvel's Avengers is releasing at the end of this month after a couple of betas. where you'll be able to play the Golden Gate Bridge demo to find Olympia single-player mission, Missing Links single-player mission, Harm Challenge Rooms, 5 War Zones missions, and over 4 hours of gameplay, according to the email I received just before we went to record. But they announced, Crystal Dynamics developers announced ages ago that they would keep updating the game, so you'd have new heroes, new content as kind of a live service. So it appears the first new character that they're going to release is Spider-Man, and again, only on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5.
I heard they were doing Hawkeye as well, like very early. Yes. Like, I know he's been announced as well.
They did announce
that. I don't know too much.
No idea if he's going to be deaf like he is in the comics.
Yes.
Is he deaf in the comic?
Yes, he wears it. Okay, wears a hearing aid.
He has hearing aids for the game, so yes.
That's fantastic. Oh.
There's also another character who I've unfortunately forgotten the name of. They're a new character, but they're in a wheelchair as well. So they're being quite diverse with the sort of casts of characters they have.
They're an original character.
Yes, an original character based on someone who is an advocate of accessibility in games. And their name is escaping right now, and I'm really sorry.
That's really interesting. I'm surprised.
But neither Hawkeye nor this mysterious wheelchair-bound character are going to be exclusive to one platform or another. Of course, saying you can't play with this character in this game has set the internet aflame with people clearly unhappy that they won't be able to play as the Web Slinger, who is very rarely a member of a Avengers squad, so I don't see why he's in this game at all.
I mean, he's in the films.
Yeah, he's in one of the films.
He's in...
Oh, okay. He's in
two
films. No, he's in three.
He's in two plus that Captain America one that happened.
Okay, yeah, right. But that's the movie verse. In the comics, he only became an Avenger for the first time in, I want to say, 2006, as part of New Avengers, after the Avengers, Scarlet Witch went crazy, killed several Avengers, and then they disbanded.
Wait, isn't he part of the original Civil War storyline?
He was, yes. That,
but he wasn't an Avenger, he was just a random guy.
At that point, he was an Avenger, because that storyline was in... Wait, when was it? That was 2011, I think.
I have no idea.
That was while they were living in Stark Mansion. At the minute, they're living in the body of a hollowed-out celestial in the Antarctic.
As you do.
Comics are friggin' weird.
Comics are weird is the catchline there. Yeah.
But my take on this whole thing is this is clearly to me. This is the first of an exclusive reveal. So Spider-Man exclusive on the PlayStation platforms, then we're going to have someone exclusive on the Xbox, someone exclusive on Windows.
Spawn is going to be exclusive on Xbox, and Link is going to be exclusive on Nintendo.
They're not Marvel characters.
That doesn't matter. It didn't stop Soul Calibur.
The Witcher was in, Geralt was in one of the Soul Calibers, wasn't he?
He was. I think he was. Is he? No, is he? No, has he been revealed for... He was definitely one of them, unless he's not been, and then he wasn't. I don't remember which one he was in, if he was in one.
At least Spider-Man's part of the existing universe.
Yes, that's true. However, I'm sure there's a way you can connect Spawn and Link to Spider-Man, somehow.
Oh, okay, yeah, there's been crossovers and hints and things. Spawn's been in the DC universe a couple of times. He's fought Batman twice. Well, fought/teamed up with.
And Link's in Smash, Ryu's in Smash, Ryu's in Marvel vs. Capcom. So those worlds exist together.
Right, so Ryu is going to be the Xbox exclusive character in Marvel's Avengers.
Why? Why would he be? I thought that PlayStation basically had a deal with Street Fighter. He could be another PlayStation exclusive character.
To be fair, we don't know which Spider-Man. PlayStation blog, written by associate art director Jeff Adams of Crystal Dynamics, uses images of Peter Parker's Spider-Man. But that's an interesting point. The other five Spider-Men are going to be on other platforms.
Because obviously the new Spider-Man game is Miles Morales. So it's an interesting point. They could put in Miles Morales. And if they, like Nikki says, have this sort of goal of diversity, they added Miss Marvel, haven't they, as well? And this wheelchair person that we don't know. They could just add in Miles Morales instead of Peter Parker, which would be interesting.
As I say, there's multiple Spider-Man. There's two Spider-Man clones running around.
I mean, they could have Dr. Octopus inside Peter Parker's head, and it'd still... I mean, it'd be weird, but it makes sense in consideration with all of the Spider-Man stuff.
Except diversity, it's the female Dr. Octopus.
Oh, from End of Spider-Verse.
I mean, she was in that, yeah.
I'm not against it.
Right, nothing to say about this, Nikki? No opinion one way or the other?
I have opinions. I don't know if they're necessarily right, good opinions, but... I don't know, I just... there is nothing about this game that interests me or excites me, and I'm... I feel a little bit bad because I know that there's a lot of love and hard work going into it from the team. At least I hope there is. But there's nothing that they've shown that makes me go, wow, I need to play this. Like, I don't even feel that tempted. Like, I don't even have like an urge to play the beta when it goes public. Like, I just...
21st to the 23rd of August.
Thank you. Everything I've seen just doesn't interest me at all. And it's weird. I don't know if it's It's not the source material. It's not the fact that it's Marvel. Like, I think it looks cool. I mean, it looks great. I'm not a big fan of some of the character designs. I will admit that. Gameplay. I don't know. Also, I know a lot of people have pointed this out, but there's a screenshot of like the gear or equipment menu, and like there's just so much information. But the thing I don't like is that in the bottom left, there's like seven different currencies. And I saw that screenshot and was just like, "I already played."
I haven't seen that screen.
It's like the equipment menu, like all the different tiered loot. Like I don't know. I think I'm probably just I've burnt out on like quote loot and shoots. I know it's not. It's a live service game though. Like, you know, I've been playing Destiny for like 6 years, and like it's. I don't know. I know it's a really cop-out thing to say. I don't know. But I generally just don't know. Like, maybe this game is the greatest thing ever. But everyone I know who's had the chance to try it has said that it just feels a bit meh. There's nothing really groundbreaking that I'm seeing. It's... Yeah, I don't know.
I think from conception, we thought, oh, an Avengers game by Square Enix, that could be cool. Thinking like, oh, like Final Fantasy, whatever. And then they revealed it, and we were like, oh, this looks weird. That's... And then they revealed the voice actors, and you were like, oh, it's Troy Baker and Nolan North and Laura Bailey again. And then they revealed some of the gameplay, and we're like, oh, that looks not very fun. And then it was a live service game, and you're like, well, I wish it was an interesting single-player story. Just on and on, like every single reveal has just been like, why? It's just been a big sigh, a big like, oh, what are you doing?
So neither of you have pre-ordered the £209.99 Earth's Mightiest Edition, which comes with a honorary Avenger pin, a 5x7 photograph of the Avengers, a 6-inch bobblehead of the Hulk, a Mjolnir keychain.
Okay, to be fair, the bobblehead does sound quite cool.
A belt.
That sounds great, yeah.
The Black Widow's symbol, Iron Man's prototype armor blueprints, a steelbook, or a 12-inch full-color Captain America statue.
Okay, all right. That's crazy. I think I've had this rant already on a previous episode. Go back like 5 or 10 episodes and maybe you'll find it. Sorry if that sounded really bad. Like the whole reveal, they made this big thing about how like Captain America's died. Oh my God. Yet then like the next reveal, it's like, you get to play as Captain America. It's like, well, then you've just like your entire like premise for revealing this game just went down the drain within like, because it's blatantly obvious. It's like, well, of course he's not dead. You've said he's a playable character. He's got a DLC costume. Of course he's not dead. And everyone's like, oh my God, they killed Captain America. It's like, what they should do, like, legitimately, just turn around and say, do you know what? Actually, no, we have killed him. He's dead. He's gone. He's just gone. Here's these other characters. They're going to take his place. I'd be like, cool, done. Like, just make Kamala Khan, like, just make her Captain America. Just boom, done, switcheroo. Also, Captain America looks like wank. Just his design is terrible. Just
they all look so weird. But I think they all look so weird because we're so used to like the movie.
I think that's the problem. I think that is the problem. Like we've had the films for like we've had the MCU for like 10 years. Like it got, you know, Tony, like fuck, what is his name?
Robert Downey Jr. You can't not have an Iron Man that doesn't look like Robert Downey Jr.
They made him look like it in the comics. Like, so like that's how influential the MCU has been. So they came out with these original designs. And you know, I mean, I just personally just don't like the designs. I'm sure objectively they're fantastic, but like the only comparison I have is the MCU. And I'm like, I kind of prefer the MCU. But again, I've been staring at that for 10 years. I've been staring at Captain America's ass for 10 years now.
Yeah,
you know,
America's ass.
Yeah, it's the only good thing about America.
I'd just like to point out that Robert Downey Jr. does look like the existing Tony Stark before they fiddled with his design, made his mustache bit slash beard a bit different. But yeah, he that's how he always looked. It's just very good.
Oh, I know he doesn't look like Robert Downey Jr. He just looks like some guy. Doesn't even look like him. It's weird. Like, I don't know. They are just very strange designs. They don't feel fully realized. They feel a bit off. They feel a bit like some random person somewhere has invented these characters, realized these characters already existed and were copyrighted, and then like changed little bits of them to get past the copyright.
Okay, as a long-time comic reader, and I really enjoy when they explore the alternate realities, the what-if scenarios, and they usually wear different costumes. So I think I'm okay with the designs of the costumes because I'm already in that headspace. I'm fine with how they look in other outfits. But the faces, none of them look right.
Yeah, I think that's sort of what I mean is that none of them look right in general. Faces as well. The deciding factor on whether I pick this up is if the game gets really well reviewed at launch and all my friends go, we're gonna pick up Avengers, do you want to pick it up so you can play it with us? I will go, yes. But at this point in time, it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
So you don't want this photograph of the Avengers?
Is it the MCU Avengers, or is it the weird face people?
It is the weird face people plus Kamala Khan with a big Avengers Day banner.
Then not massively. I don't really want that, no. Do you want that?
No, I don't want a photograph of an in-game cast.
There we go. It's weird.
That's why I led.
If you can't sell the comics fan, if you can't sell the comics fan on this game, you're gonna struggle. I think.
It does.
£200. God,
it is expensive, but I'm sure comic book fans have spent more on much less.
Not this comic book fan. Okay, I think we've reached the end of that, and I think we have time to talk about a main topic that you brought up earlier, Velt. Is the Game Pass sustainable? Oh, no. Because there's been a lot of talk recently about everything Xbox Series X coming to Game Pass, all first-party titles. So is it going to be sustainable without hundreds and thousands of people buying the latest Halo at full whack rather than just paying £1 for a trial 3 months?
Yeah.
It's... Like, I've wanted to know for ages, like, how this is, like, just... Yeah, how is this sustainable? Because, like, PlayStation Plus, they have, like, metrics and stuff, I believe, that they then use to basically say, right, this is most likely how many copies will be downloaded, so we'll pay the developers X amount. Like, developers get paid for being on PlayStation Plus. And I assume it's the same on Xbox... on Game Pass. But again, this is just purely speculation. Microsoft, in a way, like I think the thing is, Xbox have that luxury of being part of Microsoft, in that Microsoft kind of has infinite money, whereas obviously Xbox, I imagine, doesn't, but they can kind of take money from wherever. So I do kind of, do they pay a set fee? Developers have to get paid, surely.
Yeah. You'd hope so, at the very least.
I've seen it mentioned by an indie developer, well, publisher or two, saying that because they were on Game Pass, they sold lots and lots more copies than they would have if they were not on Game Pass. And this is selling to people in addition to them playing on Game Pass.
Well, I guess that it helps for indie games, because word of mouth then gets out. Indie games are also available on many other places and platforms. So if you get if people are talking about a new game that's free on Game Pass, let's say, like, you know, whatever random indie title it is, say it's the next bit. Say it's Fall Guys, which is coming out on the PS Plus, like as soon as possible. Like, people are talking about that game because it's free on PS Plus. So people who don't have PS Plus are going to go out and check it out on whatever other platform it's available on. It makes sense for indie games to get involved in Games Pass to a point, to a degree, because they will get word of mouth out there. It's the really big games that I think don't make that much sense. Like, if the next Final Fantasy game was free on Game Pass, they wouldn't make anywhere near the amount of money that they would normally make, would they?
I imagine, like I've seen a couple of web articles and threads about how, like, people are trying to speculate how it works, and there's an idea that maybe it's based on usage, and like people get a cut. No, it's most likely there's an agreement up front and an amount paid. But I guess the thing, like, with Sea of Thieves, though, is obviously they're Rare a first party or a Microsoft studio, so it doesn't really matter to them, because, like, their money is coming from Microsoft anyway. So, you know, that, I imagine that was probably okay. Even though, I mean, I bought the game. I don't know. I
think eventually it matters to Microsoft. I know we say they have infinite money, but eventually it does get to the point where they don't, right?
Yeah.
They can't keep funding games. Like, they said every Xbox Series X game on release will also release on Game Pass. if they're getting a tenner a month from Game Pass, from every single person on Game Pass, and they're just giving you Halo on launch, and they're giving you Fable on launch, and they're giving you Hellblade on launch, and they're giving you the new the Outer Worlds, and then they're giving you the new Obsidian game, and it's just like, how long does it take until Microsoft sit there and go, oh, we're not making any money off our games anymore because they're all free on Game Pass?
So, just to do a quick bit of math, there's apparently 10 million Game Pass users, right?
Wow, already? That's a lot.
Yep, 10 million members as of April. Now, didn't specify if it was active members, and obviously there's different tiers. Yeah. There's been offers. There's a weird thing you can do where you can basically get like 2 years worth for like nothing. But let's, for the sake of science, say that it's $10, £10, whatever. 10 million times 10 is 100 million, which is cool. How much is the average game these days? 60?
Yep.
I actually researched this in another podcast. The Hellblade devs came out and said how much it took to make Hellblade, the original Hellblade. And they said a normal standard AAA game would normally cost around 50 million. Hellblade 1 in its own right cost 10 million because they were, obviously, it's an in-between thing. So I think it would be safe to assume something like Halo, something like Fable, would cost upwards of 50 million.
Yeah, and I think they're probably more. So we could argue that like the money that they're making from Game Pass just about covers the budget for Halo Infinite. But Halo Infinite is probably 150 million easily.
Mm.
So I've just basically proven that my own theory is wrong.
What was your own theory? Let's hear it out.
That's the scientific method. You come up with theory, you prove it wrong, and come up with a new theory.
Well, my thought process was that, you know, the big triple. I mean, hang on. Like the big AAA games, yeah, no, that's not, they're never going to be covered by the cost of Game Pass. But maybe that's the thing. That maybe the way the business model is set up is that they're like the money that they get from Game Pass, they put straight back into Game Pass by getting smaller games, indie developers and small developers. They can be like, hey, we'll give you a million to have your game on there for a year. And Joe in his mum's basement, sorry, Joe, is like, fuck yeah, I'll take that. And then if they see an increase of sales from that, then win-win. You know, and if they start fleshing out of all these smaller games, and you know, they're up to like, what, 200 games across PC and Xbox, that's getting more people in. So then they can say, right, we know that there's still going to be a portion of people that buy Halo Infinite, but let's put Halo Infinite on there. And let's just say, for argument's sake, their projection is 10 million sales. They sell 5 million on launch day, and they get another 5 million on Game Pass. Okay, they've only made half of their projected sales, but they've still managed to retain the user base. And I can imagine that part of that 5 million is going to transfer into sales. There's also the argument to be had, and again, I could be talking on my ass right now. I'm sorry. There is that argument to have as well that, like, if you... Because let's be honest, word of mouth and streaming is the biggest way to market.
It is, yeah.
There's an argument to say that, but you put your game, that game goes on Game Pass, those 5 million that are playing it on Game Pass, if they each tell one person, that's another potential 5 million customers without having, and they can say, look, you can play the game on Game Pass, so they get more people to get. So maybe, I don't know, I don't know if I'm explaining it very well, but maybe Microsoft is putting their hope in this weird model of, like, if they bait people in with smaller games, they're helping those developers, they can kind of on the long term recuperate the cost the development cost of making these big budget games by taking that initial hit, but hoping that, like, yeah, the long game, they'll pick up the sales, they'll generate more traction, they'll get more hits, be it through Game Pass or through sales. Then maybe that's the thing. And I guess they've just got the bank at the minute to be able to say, we can ride on this for a while, take that hit, and just hope for the best.
It's not too dissimilar to how consoles already work.
Mm.
Is that you take a financial hit because none of the main consoles now have made money on the console itself. They've all three of them have taken a financial hit, however big that financial hit is. And then you do that, you then fill it with either a very big launch game, like Halo will be a very big launch game, like Spider-Man will be a very big launch game, like Zelda was a very big launch game. And hopefully that baits the amount of people in. And then you've got other things to, like the smaller things to get word of mouth, the third-party games. Like Devil May Cry 5's on the Game Pass.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like that's a good point to bear in mind as well. Is like it's predominantly first-party Microsoft games that are going to be straight away on launch pass. Like not every single Xbox game is going to be on day one on Game Pass. So again, it could just be their strategy to adopt people to the new hardware. I feel like it's trickier to really kind of work this one out, because once the new console's out, Game Pass will be covering two generations of consoles, multiple models, mobile devices through streaming. It's going to be covering PC. So like the amount of coverage that Game Pass is going to have is just ludicrous. And
there's going to be at least one point where it increases so much, like you say with Halo.
Yeah,
like, the day Halo comes out is the day so many other people, or maybe even they give it away for a month on the Xbox Series X.
Well,
they say, here's a free month of Game Pass. Boom.
Or something we actually didn't speak about in the news, but it's just a confirmation. They've confirmed that the multiplayer is actually going to be a free to play portion now.
Yes,
it's free to play. Do you still stick it on Game Pass? Like, do you just access it as a free-to-play thing through Game Pass? Probably not. It'll just be a standalone free-to-play thing. But if you're making the multiplayer free-to-play, like, I don't know. It's...
Is it,
do you need Game Pass Ultimate to buy the online, to play online?
Isn't the Call of Duty multiplayer portion free-to-play?
Yes, it is, yeah. I believe. The new one, yeah.
It again, like, Microsoft are playing a really weird game, especially in like the sense that they've said that they're not going to have any pure console exclusives for the next gen for at least 2 years. They're so invested in this ecosystem that they are playing the long game. But is Game Pass sustainable? Well, there's clearly someone who's been paid a lot of money to work out if it is or not, and it clearly is.
Yeah.
Yesterday they mentioned about how like, yep, nope, soon you'll be able to stream games for Game Pass. We're doing the whole like cloud gaming, xCloud thing. It's gonna be great. The response I've seen on social media is overwhelmingly positive, whereas Stadia is basically dead. And at its core, they're essentially the same thing. At its core, they're just streaming game services. Stadia's dead. People are excited to be able to stream, to stream Xbox games to their phone. It's probably going to be exactly the same. Probably going to be a bit late, laggy, a bit crap. But people are happy. So, like, yeah, like it's impossible to work it out. And it drives me mental because I'd love to know. I would love to just sit down with someone from Microsoft and like, actually have them explain the logic of how both short term and long term they make money out of Game Pass. Because there must be something we're missing. Like, because I do the pay every 3 months, so I pay like £32 every 3 months to be able to have Game Pass on PC, Xbox, and I guess soon phone, and it includes Xbox Gold, so it's all there. I barely use the fucking thing.
See, you're funding them but you don't use it. That's what they're betting,
and you're wondering if it's sustainable.
I am that reason. But to be fair, yeah. Like that is legitimately an actual business model that is taken into consideration with subscription services. And that is, how many people can you bait in and just hope that they forget? like there is always a portion in a subscription model that is factored for what is the likelihood of people just forgetting to cancel their subscription. Like, you can guarantee there's probably people that have WoW subscriptions. I don't know how much a WoW subscription is. I think it's less than $10. Like, that they've just forgotten about, and it just goes out of their account like every month. They just don't notice. Crunchyroll, you know, I'm subscribed to Crunchyroll, and I basically every month forget that it comes out of my account until I get an email saying thanks for your payment, and I'm like, oh yeah. And I use Crunchyroll quite regularly, and I still forget that I pay for it.
I mean, that's probably because you have, I mean, if you use it all the time, you probably have that back in your mind that this is just normal. That I have this access, because obviously I don't play for control and I don't use it that much either. But when I am on there and use it, I will obviously have ads pop up and have all sorts of stuff going, you need to pay for Crunchyroll. Then I was like, oh, okay, fine. I guess it's the same for Netflix and stuff as well. Like, how many people watch Netflix every day?
Watch someone else's Netflix.
There you go.
Okay. Well, think, you know, can we poach somebody else's Game Pass? We'll do that.
No, no, unfortunately. Only if you get me all the achievements. I think in conclusion, like, you know, is Game Pass sustainable? I'm going to put my money on the table and say that I think Game Pass is sustainable at least as it is for another 2 years. And I reckon, and I'm saying 2 years because, again, they're long-term exclusivities. And I reckon, as I said earlier, I think Microsoft are playing a long game and they're hoping that there's this conversion rate of people coming over to then have enough, because yeah, you want to have enough money they can keep, because if you think about it, if they can get Game Pass up to, God, 30 million users, what is that? That's $300 million for argument's sake. That would cover the development cost of two AAA games easily.
Yeah.
So maybe this is the thing. You take that cut, they expand it enough through the subscription service, through everything else, and then maybe in a year or two time, they can say, do you know what? We're now making enough money off this. So now we can... In fact, actually, no. Do you know what I can see them doing? The second that they start getting overflow from Game Pass, I reckon, because this is just how Microsoft are, they won't put it into like the next Halo or the next Gears of War. They'll put it into companies like Ninja Theory, who are doing experimental shit. Yes. They will keep funding those experimental games to, again, try and grow their audience, grow their pool of talent, and just repeat the cycle over and over again. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Well, yeah, they are the new Halo. Like, the thing is, they bought a load of companies, didn't they, back in a few years ago. They went out and went, we're buying a boatload of companies. Like, I don't know how many they bought, but there were a lot of them. Including places like Ninja Theory, including the people who make State of Decay. And we're only just seeing the sort of payoff of it coming into to focus now with Obsidian's two games and State of Decay 3 and Hellblade 2. These studios that Microsoft have bought, they are the next Halo. Halo, like, as big as Halo is now, as big as a brand name as Halo is now, that star is dying, I think. Because there's so many people who have seen the Halo Infinite trailer. I've not seen a positive word said about the Halo Infinite trailer from even fans. I've seen people go, ugh, it's just this again. The next big thing for Microsoft is, I think, as you say, having lots of different, interesting, big titles that they can invest in. And it's funny because, you know, this sort of thing about not having exclusive titles for the Xbox Series X and having games on the Xbox One, I think is also part of this plan to get people invested in Game Pass. Because if, for example, I was working in a shop today, in a game shop, and someone asked me what games console to buy for the next generation, I probably wouldn't tell them a PlayStation 5 and I probably wouldn't tell them an Xbox Series X. I'd probably say, get an Xbox One, get Game Pass with it. It's £10 a month, less than £10 a month. If all your kid wants to do is play Fortnite, that's perfectly fine. But you get all these extra things with it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I bought an Xbox One S at Black Friday. It came with Jedi Fallen Order. It came with Game Pass as well. I then immediately was like, just went through and just started downloading games. I was like, oh, do you know what? I've always wanted to play that, but I never got around to it. Oh, there's that. Upgraded to the PC version, and immediately, like, so for, like, and this is a bit mean. This is mean, and I know. Gears Tactics, day one on Game Pass. You know, Minecraft Dungeon, day one on Game Pass. Brilliant. I played them. Ended up being a bit disappointed by both of them, but I didn't spend £50 on each, which is a weird way to look at it, because in reality, Minecraft Dungeon was £50, but in reality, like, I'm paying a monthly fee, so long term it's more, but it's like, well, actually, you know, it was
not, because you're not paying 50 quid for Gears Tactics, you're paying 50 quid for 5 Gears Tactics, because you get to play, say you play 5 games, say you play 1 game a month, which is unlikely if you play a lot of video games. If you don't play many video games, that's fine. But if you do play a lot of games, then, you know, say you play more than one game a month, you're getting that money out of it, like, a lot. You're getting a lot back. When I looked at it, and I could pick out 5 games on the Xbox, well, I could... That's I'm considering it, and I haven't got an Xbox One. I'm considering going, you know what, I'll buy an Xbox One for less than 200 quid. I'll buy Game Pass, and there are 5 games on Xbox Game Pass, so more than that probably, that I could buy at full price or buy for more than a tenner that I would play. You know, it's, I don't know, it's crazy. It's crazy.
And on that note, we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Nikki and Felt. Thank you for listening, and an even bigger thank you for subscribing, whether that's via Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or our RSS feed. You can leave a review on iTunes, follow us on Spotify, or post a cheeky comment on GameGrin.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch too, and while you're at it, game on.